Ghost Fire, written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
Chapter 1. Fort St. George, Madras, India, 1754. The two children climbed the wall and dropped into the garden. The evening air was ripe with the midsummer scent of jasmine flowers and coconut oil burning in the lamps that had been lit. Long shadows hid them from view as they crept towards the big house. They were brother and sister. The girl, the older of the two, had long fair hair that hung loose down her back, though she was of an age when more modesty would soon be required. The Indian sun had tanned her skin golden. She had a woman's curves, but a soft, girlish face that brimmed with mischief.
"Why have we come here, Connie?" asked the boy.
He was taller than her, of which he was proud, though a year younger. He was sturdily built, already taking the shape of the man he would become, with a mop of tousled red hair and intelligent brown eyes. His skin was darker than hers, a bronze that could pass for Indian as easily as European. Constance crouched behind a terracotta urn.
"Mr. Merridew is hosting an assembly this evening, gentlemen only."
"But that will be the most boring party in the world," Theo complained. "Old men talking about the price of cotton all night."
"They have not come to talk business, Theo. I had it from my hairdresser, who had it from her sister, whose cousin is a cook in the house, that Mr. Merridew has hired a troupe of Nautch girls to dance. I am told it will be so scandalous that the men have been talking of little else all week. You want to break in and see what they do, don't you?"
"Of course, but..." Theo was not a coward, but he had a practical streak. Painful experience had taught him that if they were caught, it was he who would feel the strength of their father's anger. Constance's green eyes sparkled.
"I dare you," she said. "They say the Nautch dancers are the most beautiful women in the world. You will be of age soon. Are you not curious to see the mysteries of the feminine form?"
Theo swallowed. Constance was dressed in Indian style, with a bright sari wrapped around her and draped over her shoulders. She had mastered the intricacies of the garment so that it clung to the contours of her body, shifting easily as she moved. She wore nothing underneath, yet she had a slimmer waist than many a woman who trussed herself up with iron stays and whalebone busks. Her young breast swelled under the fabric. To Theo, the complexities of women's undergarments were a mystery more profound than the algebraic equations his despairing tutor tried to make him work out. But he could not fail to notice the changes in his sister over the last 2 years, and it made him uncomfortable when she spoke so frankly. He knew women should not say such things.
"Or are you frightened?"
Her eyes met his, flashing with the challenge.
Theo swallowed his doubts. He could never resist his sister, however many times it ended with him bending over in their father's study.
"I'll go first,"
he said defiantly. Keeping low, he ran to the house and flattened himself against the wall. It was a grand building, as befitted the richest merchant in Madras, designed in the fantastical style that was unique to the British in India. A broad veranda was supported by Grecian columns. Onion domes flanked classical pediments. It stood about half a mile from Fort St. George in Madras, though near enough for its occupants to hear the surf crashing on the beach that fronted the city walls. From the sounds within, Theo guessed the party was taking place on the first floor. He recalled a grand ballroom there from his only visit to the house, trailing along behind his father. A shadow flitted past one of the ground floor windows. Theo ducked.
He could see the carriages and palanquins lined up on the driveway.
With so many of Madras's finest citizens assembled, the house would be full of servants. He could not hope to get up the stairs unseen. A carved stone elephant stood on the terrace. It was almost as tall as Theo.